Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, and Happy New Year, our first class in 2022. So let's start with just coming into this present moment and allowing ourselves to move into that consciousness that has no diversity. So that is, which is really that raw, natural state of yours. Which means is we're going to just allow ourselves to enter into a samadhi state for a moment and to let everything just be as is and to drop into that background, that natural state that is yours. If the mind is busy, then allow yourself to just focus on one of the portals, the heart or the mind, the head or the belly. To the exclusion of anything else. Now, if your eyes easily open while you stay in that state right now that you experience, just don't move, just open your eyes if that works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Don't engage your mind, just open your eyes. You might close your eyes again, open your eyes. Get comfortable with the state of unengaged mind, which is the unengaged lower mind. So I want to start with reading something from Shankara's Crest Jewel of Discrimination, just a couple of paragraphs. And Shankara was somebody who lived in southern India, 686 AD. I'm just going to read about Brahman is all. And Brahman, not Brahma, but Brahman with an N at the end. Brahma we think of as the creator God, but Brahman is just another word of source. God. So from this, so this is what Shankara says. From the standpoint of the illumined soul, Brahman fills everything, beginningless, endless, immeasurable, unchanging, one without a second. In Brahman, there is no diversity or whatsoever. Brahman is pure existence, pure consciousness, eternal bliss, beyond action, one without a second. And it repeats, in Brahman there is no diversity whatsoever. Brahman is the innermost consciousness, filled full of endless bliss, infinite, omnipresent, one without a second. So it's innermost. In Brahman there is no diversity whatsoever. Brahman cannot be avoided, since it is everywhere. Brahman cannot be grasped, since it is transcendent. It cannot be contained, since it contains all things. It is one without a second, so there is no time. In Brahman, there is no diversity whatsoever. Brahman is without parts or attributes. It is subtle, absolute, taintless, one without a second. In Brahman, there is no diversity whatsoever. Brahman is undefinable or indefinable, beyond the range of mind and speech, one without a second. In Brahman there is no diversity whatsoever. Brahman is reality itself, established in its own glory, pure, absolute consciousness, having no equal, one without a second. In Brahman there is no diversity whatsoever. The spiritual seekers, those great-hearted souls who have freed themselves from all cravings, casting aside sensual pleasures, tranquil and self-controlled, they realize the supreme truth of Brahman. They attain union with Brahman and reach the highest bliss. So you too must discriminate and realize the supreme truth of Brahman, realize the true nature of the Atman as the sum of all bliss. So the Atman is the drop of Brahman within us, or Christ within us. Shake off the delusions which your own mind has created. Thus you will become free and illumined. You will make your life blessed. Calm your mind utterly and attain samadhi. Then you will have open vision, seeing clearly the truth of the Atman. So, something he always repeats is that there's no diversity. And that is what mind is. Mind is all about diversity, shapes and forms, and that brings rise, the rise of desire. Because if there's one shape and another, they both are magnetically attracted or they are electrically repulsing each other. So that causes the attraction, the aversion. So when we sit and meditate, we just have a moment to rediscover something's always here because we can't get rid of it. And we just have a moment where we're not caught in desires. So there are MP3s in this module in regards to desires and always this confusion, the struggle that humans have in regards to the desires. And so it is really easy to, I think of it in three levels. There's like the egoic desire, which is kind of not really good. It brings suffering. And then there is the soul, deeper soul desire, which is awakened. Let's call it comes from the Atman. It's sort of the expression of the divine desire through us, that will to live and to move and create and evolve. So that's the second level. And then we go all the way back to source, which has no movement because it already is everywhere. Desire is fulfilled. Where is there to go? The desire has fulfilled itself. So when we meditate and daily kind of fall back into this moment, and we, you know, it could be even sitting out in nature and having our eyes open, where we for a moment just don't allow the desires to occupy and excite the nervous system, where we just let it all go, we plunge back, or we allow Brahman, the totality source, to fill up our awareness field. And whenever we plunge back into source, we come back out, we have better perspective. We see better, we are more clear. And each time we have the wisdom, this goes automatically, to not pick up a desire that had a low vibration. So each time we plunge back into source, we come back wiser and we pick up less of things that are disturbing to us and cause future sufferings. So it's actually quite simple. And I know you know this. At the same time, I do know that the nature of the mind will bring this up over and over again. And we learn and understand more and more deeply the simplicity of things, because each time we plunge back into the ocean of existence, we have less desire confusing us and creating movement in the mind. So let me turn to my panel here and have a look at who has hands up. And that's the first one is Jeannie. So I'm going to unmute you, Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I hope everything is okay with you with the weather.
Oh, my goodness. It's so icy out there. This morning, I can't even tell you, I had thousands of icicles. It was like an ice wonderland, and everything, you can't even walk outside because cracks, and then you stand on the ice, and then you crack down about a foot and a half because the snow's underneath. It's like, I've never experienced this in my life. So have you? I don't know. It's so cold.
Yes, it's been like that for us here in Utah. Because it'd be snowy, and then it'd be rain and freeze. And it's been very treacherous, actually, in some ways.
Exactly. I can't even go out all the time. I went outside today a little bit, but it's like yesterday I didn't dare. So anyway.
So thank you so much. I have to say that when you spoke of the unengaged mind, I can feel that when I'm driving and I look at the mountains. And I just kind of, it's like I'm there, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I raise my hand because I, as I've said in my essay, that I've been kind of zigzaggy, but I have, not so much, but I'm struggling with, I feel like I'm, I guess it's the ego that feels like it's like, what's happening? Where are you going? What's going, you know, and at the same time, I have wonderful times of bliss. I know that I had, my focus was so much on others so much of the time, or let's say regurgitating conversations with people, worrying about what people are thinking and all that kind of stuff. I don't have that so much anymore. And now that I'm focusing inward and kind of undoing things, it's just like, oh, my heck. It's unsettling, and at the same time, it's fine. It's like there's this little I'm just doing, I'm using my hands where I'm just kind of back and forth a little bit. And I can, it's like that thing when you, they say, you know, if you walk down a street and you see a hole and then you fall in. And then the next day you see the hole, you walk around it. The next day after that, you see the hole, then you don't even go down that street anymore. Mm. As far as anything that I'm not doing that I'm not supposed to. So I'm getting it. But I have to say, I have felt like a recalcitrant teenager that I'm just like, don't tell me what to do. Don't force me to do this.
Yeah, well, you were so busy paying attention to other people, and that's sort of, and you were good at that. So that energy, which has a certain power behind it, it's strong, it's determined, it had perseverance and strength behind it. And, now when it doesn't do that and it's being redirected, it's going to, and let's say you're not using, because it's different, you're going inward, it seems like it doesn't appear to need the same kind of perseverance, but, and then some of this energy, maybe use half of that energy used before, and then the other half is going to go into the mind, stirring up doubt and questions and distractions. So if you can look at what you're doing now with this and use the same, like that same energy, like that full power going forward, like it's like life or death kind of thing, you know, that's often, you know, what you experience. If you do that inwardly for yourself now, you will not have scattered energies that are going to kind of distract you or kind of keep you occupied, you know, because it refracts in the mind. Remember, the mind is a hall of mirrors, and it flashes and it shows you pictures and all that stuff, and you think, oh, that's really real, but it was just a mirage.
Mm-hmm. And keeping that in mind as I go through my life, with so much is that everybody is a mirror and everything is teaching me, and that it's I feel like I've been kind of disrespectful to you. If that, I mean, I don't even know if that's the way to say it, but I
feel what you're saying. No, I get what you're saying, and I thank you very much. You're seeing it and you're sensing it. Now, what is the next step then for you? I think you kind of know that. You just make a decision. You do something differently. You will just then struggle and just take that determination, say, okay, what is it that I really want? And if there's resistance in it, like the teenager or something, that energy, you have to basically redirect and work with it, because it won't go away, you know? It's like with teenagers. It'll test you, right?
I appreciate your love that you still... I just don't even know how you would do what you do. I think to myself, it was natural before to be, let's say, loving and things like that. Let's say, but it's interesting how I just, anyway, words are eluding me, but I do get it. And thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes. It's because, we begin, it's like what I was reading earlier about the diversity, it brings up desire, right? And we do things first for a reason. There's a desire for things. And then the desire falls away, and then life moves through us, moves through me, and it does things because it needs to be done. Loving needs to be done. And unconditional love just happens because it doesn't have a condition. So, and it cannot be understood by the mind. It can only be experienced. You're experiencing it, and that in itself is will basically stir things and illumine things and model things, and just kind of gives you possibilities. Like, okay, like it's very, very deep. You're tasting something, and it gives you almost like a pointer how that works and that it is possible. Because the thing is that it opens up your own nature. Your own nature is like that. Your own nature is love. But the mind doesn't let you go there. It's like keeps the door closed. It's like, why do you want to go there? You know, that's not you. You are made out of causes, and everything has a price. And the mind will keep telling you, don't go, don't open that door, right? To yourself. Yeah.
May I sit with you?
Okay. Let's do that.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Ratima. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. I need help. You know, I've talked to you, and you know where I'm at in in the journey here. It's big shifts, but let me explain what's going on. I sit down in meditation. I'm definitely the seer. It's everything. I'm able to sit here and not engage with anything. Very aware, very present. I can hear the silence. I can hear all the noise. But it feels like there's so much effort, and it should be effortless. I don't feel like I'm doing, but there's got to be somewhere where, I don't know if it's a resistance, trouble letting go, but where I get it is when I sit down to do my meditation and to literally just sit, do nothing. You should be able to feel it. It's the heart. It spins. It pulsates. I think I talked to you about this. And it's very distracting. That's all I can focus on. And it's just spinning and pulsating. And I can't, I don't know if it's effort. I don't know what it is. So I was wondering if you might be able to feel it and if you can give me guidance. And
Yeah. Well, you might remember that I've called it the ego, the activity of the mind, that is wants to remain alive. When you catch it on the emotional level and you don't fall for it, you know, you catch it on the mental level and you don't fall for it, where does it go? It's going to go in the body. It's going to be physical stuff. And now it still gets your attention now. So now, maybe we'll do this together. Mm-hmm. Now you go to, basically are going to become, because see, the seer, and we spoke about that, the seer needs to dissolve as well. Mm-hmm. So the seer is aware now of the sensation of the pulsing and all that. So we got a duality going on, right? So I'm just saying this out loud so that everybody else can follow. So let me see here. So you come to a place, it's where you're neither the seer, neither that heart, the body. You don't even are concerned. There's no movement. You have no interest at all to move as consciousness. And it's almost you expand. It's almost like you let your inside your skull, that point almost flatten out and expand. It's just not focus, but you just got to let it expand, let it soften. Let it soften, drop away from it. You don't know where you drop, right? Because you want to not be in time and space. You cannot follow into what you are. So are you able to speak in this place? What is this different now than when you're sitting by yourself?
No, I mean, I can just, it, I'm all I mean, I, I'm trying. It's how do I explain it? It's like the more I try to let go, the worse it gets.
And are you trying right now?
Through
it. Are you trying right now?
Can you feel the heart?
I'm not aware of your heart. I'm somewhere else. So follow into where I exist, which is your existence. And don't do that through your psyche, but just as what you are, as consciousness. Yeah, there is somebody here. Can you sense that? That's somebody that's trying.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay.
Big time. Big. Yeah.
So become just conscious of the somebody. There's a somebody. Just become conscious of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you become conscious of the somebody, then that can't be you, right?
Correct.
There you go. What happened there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt it loosen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still going. That's good.
So good. So don't look at that which is loosening, but look at the one that is actually has been looking at the one that is trying to control. Turn your gaze into yourself.
That's what I don't seem to know how to do. It's like, because there's nothing to find, nowhere to go.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that is.
Good, and go there. Shelley doesn't know, but you know. Don't look. Just be natural. Be just here.
That's helping. Thank you.
Yeah. Can
mm-hmm.
you say something? Can you say more?
Yeah, it's how to explain it. Like I said, I was trapped in that. It was like I was spinning. It was like I was, these eyes were like trapped in a prison. It's like I couldn't figure out how to get out. And then when you directed me into it, it's, I think how I'm doing it is just literally focusing on that nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You can actually, because that's the best, yeah, it's the best thing to do. Oh, one of the best things. Yeah, you know, I have my cat, you know, she constantly plays with her tail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like round and round and round. That's pretty much what we do, right? That's what you're describing.
Yeah.
To stop it basically, because the tail
brutal.
Is not going to, the tail
yeah,
is not the
and that's
problem.
What I literally could not figure out how to do, because it's like I could just see it, and I could see me, like you said, spinning in a room, just spinning, and I didn't know how to get out of it. That's what I have not been able to break through.
Yeah.
And then that's why that energy builds up in the heart.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very uncomfortable. Yeah, you just stop.
Yeah.
You don't care. It comes to a place, it's really where you just let go. We say let go, there's so many ways. But now you know nothingness is one way for you to right now find it. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
all right.
That helped. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome. Okay, this is Danielle. Danielle, hi.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
I don't know if I really have anything to say, but I wanted to connect with you.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Let's just be here together. Right. Good. Thank you. And I have Mariana here. Hi, Mariana.
Oh, hello, Ratima.
Hello.
I'm speechless after what you just took Shelley through. I had questions and I can't formulate them anymore, but I did want to ask for guidance as well, so maybe if we could sit and just be just with you in this moment.
Sorry, I can't hear quite well. It was about something. What?
I just wanted to ask for some guidance, but the moment you took Shelley through was so profound and so luminous, and I felt I just went through whole bodily.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that that was part of what I was looking for as well.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had some great insights, what you just wrote the other day in the healing school about the masculine and the feminine and all that. That was probably quite quite profound for you.
Really? I was like, oh my God, you might think I'm going crazy. I'm bothering you.
No, I was not surprised, but no, I'm not, you're not going crazy.
Okay. Well, the questions are all here, if you can just bear with me for a second. You know, like Christmas has been, like I felt like I was a Sufi dancer and I was just holding my point and I was just going round and round and round, you know, because there was just chaos all around me. But I was holding my point and, you know, my dress was just undulating and my arms were undulating around and around, but I stayed fast and it's like, phew, got through that. And and everything settled down. And I was just contemplating, you know, like I have all these questions for you, and as I try to formulate the question, I go beyond the question and there's no question anymore. So then I'm back to the beginning. And
good. It goes so fast, right? It just dissolves, bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'm glad you said that's great, because I thought I was a bit hopeless.
That is funny. Yeah. Brahman is hopelessness. No.
Okay. Well, all right. And I keep going. And then I was thinking, you know, you fill up my world. Oh, my goodness. You really do. I was just looking at the schedule for January, February, March, and I thought, holy mother, I'm so busy with you.
I am busy.
You're busy. You're busy, and I'm busy trying to catch up. You know, we got Wisdom Life School, and we've got that beautiful Renaissance coming out, and we've got all this stuff in healing school, and I'm trying to straddle all these contemplations and, you know, put myself through the Buddha medicine, and I'm like, I was so embarrassed writing about that, but I had to find my way through it and find my peace, and by just keep coming back again, I did that, you know. It's like I just had to find my peace with that medicine, and it's the same with, like, this, you know, the Sufism as well. That's another huge contemplation. And then we've got, there's just so many contemplations of the one way home. And I think what I'm trying to come to, it's coming clearer now, is that, and even yesterday in the healing school, it was so profound. And I wanted to write to you about the words that I auditorily heard, is, well, basically it was just a flourish, you know. And then I was just so wide open in my contemplation yesterday with that, that I think my basic question is, and I'm just sorry if I'm getting muddled, is that you constantly, I'm aware that, how to formulate it, it's like I can perceive and feel things very, very deeply in all directions. And I've got to be careful that I don't go down rabbit holes like Alice, you know. I've got to sort of come back here to the one point. But it's like you keep, and that's what I found what happened with when you were taking Shelley through that, you know, into that just pure oneness of divine, primordial, all that there is, all that there ever will be. I mean, I have no words. But, you know, I have this whole bodily devotion to the Divine Mother in all her forms. But you're contemplating, you're always asking me that I go further than that, you know. And I'm trying. Yes. I'm really trying, but I don't know how to do that. But then I feel that, and forgive me if I say this so simply, it's like that they are just, this is just they're just forms of the manifestation of the divine. And so I just love them and go through them all the way into the oneness, into that primordial golden light. Is that right?
Yes, and you really speak to something very, very powerful. And if I may say a little bit more to that, yes. Is that yes, I'm a bit of a spiritual ninja, right? I basically know that I things that I come from all angles, and they're all gifts, but they're also challenges, and yes. That's on purpose, because everything has to fall apart. There can be nothing left, and if most teachers have one kind of formula, or they choose one particular way, you could say, and that's good, and the mind can get a hold of it, and it's nice and comfortable, but it also can be an obstacle at the end. So, and I do know we have tendencies, like you have a tendency as this great devotion, but you have to, in essence, sooner or later, you'll have to burn up in all these ideas, and it's going to be physically a complete surrender to all these ideas that there's a feminine, a masculine, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know it's because it is so deep in your cellular structure, and you know that the moment will come. You just have to be willing, and then you'll just know that even that will be taken away. Life will take away everything will be taken away.
Yeah.
And even if we stay with the devotion, let's say, to the feminine, and that's just totally fine, you go through it, and there will be a struggle or a friction where that goes away, either in a tantric way or in a yogic way, but it doesn't really matter. It'll all have to be surrendered to the altar of the self or the source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel. Thank you. I feel that ultimately. There's two ways with this that's coming to mind right now. Is like one way I will go, I know that I have the capability, and it might be quite arrogant to say that right now, but I just know it in this moment that I have the capability to go all the way through, and then I will come back and maybe work with that as a medicine, let's say as a healer.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yes. It won't be, everything that's real will be there afterwards. So
yes.
your nature of that, what you are and what you already is visible, that remains, and you come back and then it'll be like a healing medicine. Absolutely. That's why it's so easy to just say it doesn't matter if offered all up, because you don't have to be concerned. Everything is real will be there. Remember, source is everywhere, and whatever is real cannot disappear. And that's such a comfort, I find.
Yes. Yeah, oh my God, that's just beautiful.
Yeah,
So I understand that completely, and so that's good. And then I also understand, like with this reaction that I had to Buddha medicine, not so much the medicine itself, but the way the Buddha has been presented throughout time. I think that was where the reaction was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did a lot of research, like even the other night I watched a movie, I don't know if you've watched it, called Medicine Man, Buddha Medicine Man, that was set up in Mongolia. And it was this beautiful man that is the Lama of Mongolia. And there's three parts of the movie. In the second part, he talks about the Buddha medicine. And I was thinking, oh, wow, you know, that's just like Ayurveda. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel that what you're offering is you're challenging me to look at that and that and that and that, and I have to find my way through it, and by immersing myself and doing my study and everything that's involved with that, I'm going back into different lifetimes where there may be irritations or love.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you got it. Exactly, you got it. Because we have gone through all these different mystery schools, and there is unfinished business. So one of these, maybe you say, dharmas that I have is to present that and trigger all that and clean that all up. It has to be. Because we're at the time right now where nothing can be brought forward. We have to let it all go.
Yeah, so that's what I felt. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. You understand it. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So, good. This is Linda in Vancouver Island. Hi. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Aratima. Wow, what a beautiful call. I'm gaining There's such richness to the original question that I had after our moment of satsang at the very beginning of the call. And so as I reiterate, just correct me, a misperception. One of which was when we were sitting in meditation, I noticed a subtlety in the seer, but really in the end, after your conversation with Shelley, it's about letting go of that even.
Yeah.
And then with Mariana, I've been having the same sort of experiences. And I think one really came up big today was about, you know, there's this feeling of justice and all of that out in the ethers. And really my heart just kind of broke because it was like, oh, there's just love and oh, can't we just get past all of this? So it seems like that was sort of like a cleaning up a bit more. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Yeah. If you feel that, like, how do you feel now? Do you feel like, oh, there's love as well? Or do you feel like, oh, there's something else going on?
Well, I think there's, in the past, coming with an attitude of what service is and cleaning up that.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the idea of service. And so really, when I just drop, when I let everything go and I drop down, just let it all go, then that's the truth and that's the love and that's the clarity. And there's no push or pull. There's no agenda. There's so it's also letting go of a yearning.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, exactly. Because one thing that the mind doesn't understand, the person doesn't understand, is that when you let it all go, you actually truly become active in the world.
Yes.
You can't always track it. I mean, you're a little bit, your third eye is open enough and you're quite conscious of a level of what you actually really do. And right now you feel like maybe this physical body that you sit there with right now is more real than the other one, but that will shift sooner or later and you'll become actually more real as the other one. But then there's a whole other dimension, which is that, which Shelley is falling into, that cannot be comprehended. And that is what we call God. And that is what we call God is doing, or Brahman or source or whatever we're going to call it. And that is really the true you. And so we are actually more useful as the true who we truly are by actually not doing anything as consciousness and letting it move through us and do us. And then there's no yearning in that. You see, there's no yearning. The yearning is still from the soul. And that's beautiful to open up to that, because the first yearning is to just want to go home and the yearning this. But do you remember that there's a poem at the beginning of this module that basically says, I'm not doing my practice sort of because I want to avoid pain. I don't do the practice because I want to get to heaven. I do the practice because I do it, you know, because I just want to disappear into that and just be that. So, and that means letting go of all desires. Yearning still is a desire in there. So the soul at some point begins to merge into, that's called the higher self, the spirit, back to source. And then there isn't any yearning. There's just pure action, clear clarity. There's a sobriety there. There's it's really hard to explain. Yeah.
May I sit with you for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thank you.
You're in that state of the self-consuming flame right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the candle is burning down. Just let it happen.
Okay, thank you, Latima.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you too. So here we are with Katya. Katya in another cold place.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cold in here.
Is it minus 30 or something? How cold is it?
I think it's warmed up. It's only minus 20, so.
Only, no, no problem.
Well, we're able to go out with the kids, so it's all good. I got myself heated mittens, so I'm all good. I can go outside and stay there for a long time.
Oh, good. Oh, wow.
So this question that Linda asked, and I guess your comment, actually... So I created a question, I guess. So I know that in some situation I do have quite a bit of awareness. At the same time, I know that my third eye is not open. At some point, I know I had a desire to have it open, but now I don't really care about it because I feel like there is awareness, which is really what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you have... of course, there's different levels of awareness, right? But there is some awareness presence, then how does third eye fit into that? I'm trying to express, like, is it really related or is it a completely different thing?
No, that's a great question. Do you remember that Shiva doesn't have an open eye? He has his eyes closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, when you see something, you're in the realm of duality. Because you're mm-hmm. seeing something, right? That's what mm-hmm. Shelley just presented us today. So we're in a place of illusion. So the third eye is a realm of illusion. Although, of course, in spiritual circles and all this, it is opening a third eye. You know, for example, when the third eye opens, you're seeing more than your physical reality. So you could say, oh, well, I'm waking up to my soul. I'm waking up to a whole other reality. I have expanded my awareness. That's great. Nothing wrong with it. It happens or it doesn't happen. That's all fine. Many people use it then to, I use it in healing and I see things. Or in the beginning I used it and then I asked it to be closed down and then it opened up naturally and then it was being used, you know, by spirit. So, you know, Shiva can look too, but the only time when Shiva opens his eyes is to destroy demons.
Mm-hmm.
So our third eye, our ability, and that's what I do in healing, for example. When I see things, it's only to detect disease or things that aren't right. And then it destroys it because in that moment my awareness falls on it and it just begins to change. So it's basically a destroyer, the third eye. The third eye can give you illusions or it can destroy things and liberate because Shiva is a great liberator. So now what else can I say about the third eye? Once we kind of absorb the seer itself and you basically and then the third eye basically closes again because it basically has seen everything. It discovered everything is an illusion. It's just a mirage. So we basically let go of that and we go all the way and we call that nirvikalpa samadhi. The whole mind basically disappears and it means just like the movie gets turned off. There's no movie, right? You're just gone. You don't perceive anything. And then of course you can come back into the world. And because you've seen that everything now when the third eye opens, you can use it or not, according to Dharma, you cannot get tricked because you know none of this is real. Now the suffering is gone because you just know that everything you see out there in the world isn't really real. And you see, let me just add to this a little bit, and I don't know if I'm speaking too much here, but is that interesting because we're between two paradigms right now, or we're really playing between paradigm 3, 4, and 5, is that it's actually playing out in the world. There is something that appears real, but it's actually staged, and there is a more better truth behind it, and it's happening at the same time. Isn't it interesting? So you're actually, we are really seeing the manifestation of a spiritual progress that usually only yogis or true spiritual seekers actually had experience on the inside. We're seeing it on the outside, this confusions, the different levels of truth, and then, you know, trying to find the truth. And so, and the more you look outside, the less you're going to get clarity. So this is, and I will be speaking about this on the 15th, actually, in regards to that free call that I'm going to offer, is that we need to kind of really, really now turn inwards and really close almost like our seeing and just really go into that inner knowing, because knowing is supreme. Knowing is truth. Knowing is reality. Seeing is still duality.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I also wanted to give an update. You remember the essay that I wrote to you, and I keep speaking about the desire, but it's actually completely gone. It's like, I don't know, after you read the essay or something, it just disappeared.
Good.
I don't care about it. I was like, oh, how is it possible that I was sitting in there for such a long time? But one thing I've noticed, that sometimes my mind trying to create a desire because it's looking for excitement, and this is something you've been talking to Shelley about. So I'm trying to also notice and kind of stop doing that.
Yeah. Try to see why you want the excitement. It's because there's some kind of boredom, or some, maybe also, it could be also grief or something else. Just ask yourself, what's actually, how would I feel if I'm not excited right now? And then just crack through that layer of whatever emotion is underneath, you know?
Oh, so I might be hiding an emotion by
going into that.
Okay, so I need to figure out what's the emotion underneath and experience that instead of going into the excitement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Would it be okay to sit with you?
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. Good. Okay. Thanks, Katya.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good. Okay. And this is Danica. Hi, Danica.
Hi, Ratima.
Hey.
This call has been really good. So I noticed that the mind, like the tricks of the mind, there's this part of me that knows that none of this is real. And like, none of it is real, and I can choose to go into it or not go into it or whatever, but that the mind creates all of these things and all of these problems, and it makes problems out of nothing. It has its own thing going on. And the more that I sit back and I watch it, the more ridiculous it is. And the more I want to disengage more and more. You don't even want to have anything to do with any anymore. There's this wanting to turn, like the wanting to turn inward to that place where everything just is. I don't know how else to explain it.
That's correct. I call it you're firing your mind. Like when a boss fires an employee, I use that kind of. You literally, it's like, okay, mind, you're done. Okay, you have that experience of that separation right now. And you make that decision and you're just like, I'm done with this. You're useless in that regards. So because you're going to rediscover, you're still in mind, but you're going to rediscover mind in a different way. So, yeah, you just let it go and you just go inward. Now, is that working? Tell me more.
Sometimes it works, but it's like, the mind's getting sneakier and sneakier almost to catch me. And so I'm noticing that there's these subtle things that are going on that I'm getting caught in, and I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like that again, you just need to pretty much you need to F off.
yes, good.
Which is stupid stories. Because I noticed like that the like emotions and stuff can move through, and then the mind like gets a hold of it and wants to run away with it, and it's like just let it go. It just needs to be. It's almost like it gets stuck in itself. If that makes sense, and it can't just blow through and blow out.
Yeah, that's correct. Now you have a free will, and so I, I one thing that I teach in the healing school is that there's three voices. There's a voice from the dark. There's a voice which is your own programming, from the egoic programming, and then there's the voice of the sacred from source. So when you get that sneakiness, it's usually or like that kind of you should, and it's kind of. It's like a little sales pitch, and it's kind of like that. It's usually from the dark. These are darker forces, because we do exist in an ocean of a lot of forces. And so usually, things like that you need to kind of turn to, and really you bring light to it through a mantra, through a prayer, or through laughter. You just laugh at it, because that kind of energy doesn't like that at all, because it is very serious and very arrogant. So if you can laugh about yourself and these kinds of things, that kind of works. Anger is usually won't really help. But you can do it, a mantra, like usually one of these weapon mantras, the Durga, the Sharavana, or whatever. But it's also the insight that this is basically, we also, from a different yoga perspective, we also take responsibility and ask ourselves, how did that serve me? Like, where's this coming from? Like, is this something that my parents did? Like, why do I do this? Why am I distracting myself like this? These are sort of more analytical ways to approach it as well, because I know you can do that. Everybody mm-hmm. does it differently, so that you basically come into a place of honesty with yourself, and then you just like, and then there could be, because underneath is fear, right? These dark mm-hmm. voices, they hide a fear, and the fear could be all kinds of things, something you are scared to face. It could be a feeling you don't want to face, or a reality, or whatever it is. And just know that all you have to do is to face it. You don't have to do anything first. Just face it. The doing, allow that to come through from spirit then. All the strength and all the support will come from spirit once you just are allowing yourself to face the fear. You don't have to have the solution.
I think that's where my mind gets caught, is it thinks it needs to have the solution to it. And we don't need that.
No, and that's, yeah, exactly. No, the solution can only come from spirit, but not from the ego, nor from the dark,
Okay.
Does that help? Do you feel a peace suddenly?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we already rooted it out right now, or a big chunk of it. So because there's nothing you have to do, it's you just have to be yourself, and it feels good, right? It feels kind of really refreshing.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, thanks, Tanika. Okay, this is Louise. Hey, Louise.
Hi, Adantingwa. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yes.
Thank you. I for a while I was sharing with you that I just, don't have the need that I had before, right, for any trying to figure out, like, what is my purpose or, work or any of those things. And mm-hmm. things were just kind of unfolding. And what I noticed, and it especially, I became even more aware of about a week or so ago when you sent out the beautiful email about the new Renaissance package.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked at the rose, there was this, and I could really feel it earlier in the call, just this sense of things being formed or unfolding through like the heart and body, and that it was more of a receiving and just kind of an awareness of, mm-hmm. Over these last couple of years, they've been difficult in many ways, but just how much, like, I've talked to my brother more in the last year or two than I have probably in our entire lifetimes, right? After mm-hmm. we, weren't living in the same house. And it was just so interesting, like, how many of the conversations were about, you know, if things get really bad, right, because he's working for a large corporation and, you know, as of Monday they're supposed to do the mandates and he's like, you know, I'm going to lose my job. And I'm like, yep, that's fine. You know, we'll figure out what to do. You know, same thing with one of his friends and, you know, and they're quite wealthy. And, like, he's having all these conversations that are just unfolding, like this friend of his that has hundreds of acres. I believe it's in Illinois and cattle and farming and all this stuff, and he's like, we can move there in his pole in his pole barn and it'll be a temporary structure. And his other friend is like, yeah, we'll buy land down there and it'll be a community and you guys are the older ones, so they're gonna do like the physical work. And I'm just laughing, you know, like kind of listening to all of this unfolding, but it just feels, I don't know how to say it, like I can feel that happening within my heart and body too, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you're noticing that rebirth and this unfolding happening in your heart and body as well.
Yeah, like it's not about an efforting thing, right? Like how I used to live so much of my life.
It's not coming from the mind. Yeah. But you're saying that your brother is coming more from the mind itself?
No, what I'm saying, it's just interesting, right, how all of this stuff is happening around me and whether or not, right, that's the way it's going to unfold. Like I'm not planning, right, to move, but just the whole idea, right, like we've spoken before about community. So it was just really fascinating to me to see how this all is, and that maybe that's what they're all going to do and I'm going to be somewhere else. But it's like this whole community evolving, right, with land and and sharing and all of that, and kind of where we were talking about, you know, the Renaissance and moving into the new, but that like I'm not actively doing or initiating it, but yet all of this is just kind of happening in conversation.
Yeah, you know, I said something, was it with, who did I talk to where I said that? I think it was Linda. You are doing something because everybody's on a different level of consciousness and awareness. So we're always doer because all of incarnation is a karma, right? It's all always doing things. Karma's action. So on the we appear to witness more and to listen and to observe because we've done already a lot of work before and we have transitioned to a place of consciousness where you are actually, your light is a driving force, is a participation that actually brings forth the new. Because you exist when you go into your, even right now, you're existing already in a unified field that is now active everywhere, inspiring things. And so you are, and then you can see it on the outside, continue. It's like you have burst already something, and now you're going to see it slowly coming into shape. And maybe somewhere you're going to be tending it more and be sort of involved. But it will be different for everybody because some people, and that's where the package has, it has energetic levels that are appropriate for people who are, because it comes, there's source energy anyway in it, right? But there's also levels where people that are actively transforming themselves still to that place of consciousness, they have actively work with this with these elements of free will, envisioning, and making choices, you know, so all that, and that is basically a skill because most people are still in reaction and they come from a place of survival, and that's not really helpful.
And is this then, I don't want to say like the flip side, but, you know, but how much, right, I was living my life more right from the brain, from the left side, whereas like when I was younger, and this kept coming up a lot, I was thinking about it, and even my mom said to me, like when I was younger, she's like, I could just sit you on a blanket and you would just be fine, just doing your own thing. And she goes, you didn't crawl. She goes, you walked first.
Like, yeah, yeah, it was similar. My mother said that I wanted every day 2 hours to myself, just three, I think. Sit me in a crib and just leave me alone. You know, I would practice language, whatever I did. She said, you practice words and talk to myself and all that stuff. So we just, you see, there are people that radiate sovereignty. And there are people that are very active and they just kind of soldier around in life and are really engaged. You know, they're like boots on the ground. And then there are those that are like Kim Russell that just see things, and their seeing is constantly looking into dimensions and participating in that and creating shifts by doing that. So, you know, we've spoken about it before that we have all these aspects, but some are a bit more dominant. So to just hold light and space, we call it holding space, to be the stillness and unmoving while everything falls apart around us, that's the doing, right? That is a really powerful mm-hmm. doing. To just go through your day and make your dinner, your lunch, and look out the window and walk the dog, whatever you're doing, and at the same time being able to not fall into that turmoil, but to hold the truth and radiate that, that's just really, you see, this is so incomprehensible for the majority of people because we're taught to be physical slaves, like, you know, like animals, mm-hmm. just going up around and around, you know, pulling the cart. It's but that's not who we are. We are spirit, and this is really not that easy. Like my parents, my grandparents, none of them would have been able to do that because they didn't have that nervous system and that level of consciousness.
Well, I feel so so blessed and so happy and peaceful and grateful, and I'm very much looking forward to the Renaissance package. Feel it in me.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks, Louie. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have one more, and that's Vainona. Okay, last one. Hey, Vainona.
Hi, Ratima. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for this beautiful call. I kind of put my hand up at the last minute. Silence.
Somebody's playing the piano in the background.
Oh, yes. Is that okay?
No, that's okay.
Daughter, it actually brings me much peace. She came over to, because she doesn't have a piano where she's staying in town. So.
Okay.
And I was going to talk about silence, so that's kind of funny, but I'm feeling like I just have these moments now where I'm just sitting in a chair and I disappear and I'm in this silence and I'm just savoring it, I guess. Like I don't want it to, like I just want to stay there, or not even a want, I just am there. And it's been happening quite often. And the other thing that everyone was talking today is this mind keeps dissolving. Like I was getting new tires yesterday and I can't, you know, like I can't even mumble out what it is I'm trying to say I need, or I leave my keys at the counter and get to the car and, oh, you know, I have to go back in. And like, there's just this full, almost like a full disconnect from so much that's going around. Right.
Yeah.
And, that's good. Okay.
That's good.
Sometimes I'm wondering how I'm surviving day to day, and I go to the bank and I'm like, I have to get money, and I stand at the machine going, what am I here for?
I've gone through many of those moments. That's good, because you're unplugging from the false matrix more and more, and there's a transition where things just don't function quite right, and that's okay, but it's no problem.
Just fumble through, okay? And just may I sit with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mute you so that we can have quiet.
Oh,
good. Okay. right. Thanks, Fainona. I'll mute you. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Okay, we have one more hand pop up. It's Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Can I sit with you?
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks, Barbara. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is how Jeannie came back here. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I have one quick question.
Yeah.
We walk around in our daily life, and Wynona said, you know, you feel detached. I walk around feeling a tremendous amount of gratitude. I mean, heartfelt gratitude, and I just feel so utterly blessed by so many things. How does that translate to, is that part of the walking in samadhi or being the...
It's a level of the heart, the gratitude, which is a, you could maybe call it also a lower samadhi, just like detachment is a lower samadhi. She's basically, detachment is an experience where she's mentally not engaging. There is where you are mentally engaging in the sense of like there is beauty everybody, but you're feeling in your heart, right? There's a, you could call it a detached form of love where you're just grateful. Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing, but just in a different place. It's just totally fine. It's beautiful. And it's a completely non-judgmental.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. All right. Good. I'm so excited. So much amazing growth, if we can call it that. Such maturity in so many ways. You know, it takes such a long time to go through the beginnings. It just takes so long, as you've probably noticed. And then there's some of these milestones. And then you go through these milestones and things can just kind of suddenly get really rapid. And then maybe it depends on people. You know, sometimes you could stay in a certain place for years. And then, bang, suddenly you're in a whole other state of consciousness you didn't even think could existed. So I think you're getting, some of you who have been here from the beginning, getting a little bit of the idea of the depth of your existence and how worthwhile it is to enjoy it, to savor, you know, every day and every stage or that you're in, because it gives so much wisdom and so satisfying. All right. I wish you a wonderful evening or morning. And we're actually going to meet again, which is my Sunday, tomorrow morning again for another class. All right. Namaste. And thank you for today. Okay. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.